So tonight's topic is whether there is a mitzvah to build a sukkah. And what I mean by that question is whether there's a mitzvah to build the structure of the sukkah separate from the mitzvah to sit in the sukkah when you want to have a meal. So Barry, when I was deciding the topic for the shiur, Barry was a little uneasy with the topic because he said, how can we speak about sukkahs before we speak about Yom Kippur? And he was 100% right. We were only going to have one shiur before both Yom Kippur and sukkahs. So I ended up picking a topic that I think actually bridges both. So where this is the connection between Yom Kippur and sukkahs, and hopefully when we come out from the shiur, we'll have a better understanding of what we're trying to accomplish, not only on sukkahs, but also on Yom Kippur this upcoming Wednesday. So that bridge really begins from the first couple of sources on Yirmiyahu Mekomos. I'm going to be using the non-translated sheets for now, but I will tell you where the Ma'ariv Mekom is from if you're following along with the translated sheets. So the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Taf Reish Chaf Dalid in source number one tells us, this is a well-known halacha, that the medaktikim, those who are scrupulous, begin to build their sukkah right away on Motzae Yom HaKippurim, right away after Yom Kippur ends. He quotes this from the Maharil, from Rabbi Yaakov Moelin, who says that this is based on the idea of Yelchu Mechayil El Chayil. We have a pasuk that tells us to go from strength to strength. We're in a position of strength, a position of power, a position of spiritual accomplishment on Yom Kippur, and we should continue that. We should continue that right away after Yom Kippur ends with another mitzvah. K'dei lotzis mi mitzvah al mitzvah. What's that mitzvah? The mitzvah is to begin building the sukkah. Source number two, the Rama repeats the same thing, and the Achronim explain that what the Rama really means is as follows. We begin to build the sukkah on Motzae Yom Kippur, but one is not obligated to finish the sukkah then. When it comes the next day after Yom Kippur, that's when one should really try to finish the sukkah, because of mitzvah habal yado al yach mitzeno, when a mitzvah comes your way, you shouldn't let it rise, you shouldn't let it be delayed, rather you should get right to it. The Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Yechiel Michel Epstein, so he points out, very interestingly, that if one does not have the ability to build the sukkah right away after Yom Kippur, there is something else that you can do, and that's to study the laws of sukkah, to study Maseches Sukkah, to study some of its laws. And in fact, some of you may know that in NYU, Rav Shechter gives a shiur on Inyani Sukkah every single Motzai Yom Kippur. I think during COVID, they had it over Zoom, and there were like over 200, 300 people there. Rabbi Leibowitz tweeted it out. It was like a huge thing, a huge deal. And every single year, Rav Shechter gives this shiur in the YU Beis Medrash. People go, and they break their fast, and they come back an hour later to hear Rav Shechter speak about Inyani Sukkah. And this is a kiyum of this idea of the Rama of being lotzis mi mitzvah el mitzvah. So that's all the background of the bridge between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Right after Yom Kippur, we begin building our sukkah. What's interesting is that the Rama quotes this halacha twice. Once as the last halacha of Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, and again as the first halacha of Hilchos Sukkah. Is that just like happenstance, or is there something more to it? And let's deepen the question for a second. The idea is to go mi mitzvah el mitzvah, from one mitzvah to another. So why did it have to be sukkah? Pick any mitzvah to do right after Yom Kippur. Do any mitzvah. And if you want it to be part of the next chag, so go out and buy your dalet minim on Motzai Yom Kippur. My father always used to like to do that. But that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch says specifically, the Rama says specifically, to start building your sukkah. So is there some deeper connection between specifically the mitzvah of sukkah and Yom Kippur? That's a question I want to have in the back of our minds throughout the rest of this year. Any questions so far? The question's fair? You can tell me it's not. Is it? Yeah? Okay. There we go. Yeah, I knew someone. We do Kiddush Levana right after Yom Kippur. True. It's not right. A okay, not a Doraisa. Is Asiya Sukkah a Doraisa? Ooh. So we have a segue to the next part of the shiur. Okay. But yeah, so but Ari's pointing out that maybe we already have another mitzvah, so why do we need sukkah? Good. So Laser points out that maybe we're looking for a Doraisa mitzvah. So that gets us to the question of whether there really is a mitzvah to build a sukkah. The simple interpretation of the Ramah Dovi is that there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah. Kedei latzeis mi mitzvah el mitzvah. So does he mean that there's like a bona fide, there is a strict obligation that one must build a sukkah? Or no, this is more to be involved in ruchnius, to be involved in mitzvos. But really, the purpose of the sukkah is just to allow you to sit in it, but there isn't a bona fide obligation to build the structure of the sukkah. That's a question that goes all the way back to the times of the Gaonim. So let's see how. So going on to sources number 4 and 5 on the non-translated sheet into the Psukim in Sefer Vayikra and Sefer Devarim. The Torah presents the holiday of Sukkot in a number of contexts, and it presents it differently depending on where you look. In Parshas Emor, Parshas HaMoadim, the Parsha that speaks all about the different holidays, so the Torah says, Basukos Teshvu Shivas Yomim, we're supposed to reside, to dwell, to live in the Sukkah for 7 days. Kolo Ezrach B'Yisrael Yeshvu Basukos. Any citizen amongst Klal Yisrael is obligated to sit in the Sukkah. Then, of course, Laman Yedu Doro Seichem, so that everybody knows, Ki Vasukos Hoshavti Es B'nai Yisrael, Botzio Same Eretz Mitzrayim, so that we know, we remember, we commemorate the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim and placed us in huts in the Midbar. And we're familiar with the debate about what the huts were, right? What are the two options? Sorry?
Clouds.
Clouds, Anonei HaKavod, or? Sukkos Mamish. Right, so we have a debate in the Gemara whether the sukkos, the huts that we used in the Midbar, were they figurative huts? Really, they refer to spiritual protection, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection, the Anone HaKavod, or were they actual huts? But be it as it may, the whole purpose of dwelling in the sukkah is to commemorate that part of history. Turn to Parshas Re'eh in Dvarim Perek HaZayin, and the Torah presents sukkos with different terminology. With a different verb. It says, Chaga Sukkos ta'aseh lecha shivas yamin. You are to make for yourself the holiday of Sukkos for 7 days. Should we make a big deal out of the fact that here, the Torah doesn't say sit in the Sukkah, but instead it says make a holiday of Sukkos? So some, for example, the Maharach or Zaruah, this is in source number 8, Rab Chaim ben Rab Yitzchak or Zaruah lived in the 1200s in Germany. He said that we shouldn't make a big deal out of this pasuk. Chag HaSukkos ta'aseh lecha. What the Torah is really trying to tell you is to celebrate the holiday of Sukkot for 7 days. And you should make it into such a holiday. Is there an obligation to build a structure of a sukkah? No, says the Maharach or Zaruah. He says, if you want someone else to build the sukkah for you, can you do that? Absolutely. The same way that someone else could wrap the tefillin on your arm or could put the tzitzis on your body, so too, someone can build the sukkah for you. Because as he says, the ikar mitzvah, the primary component, element of the mitzvah, is the yeshiva, to sit in the sukkah, which the Torah tells us explicitly, we just read, basukos teshu. So according to the Maharach or Zaruah, how would we characterize the building of the sukkah? What terminology might we use? A hechsher mitzvah, beautiful Ezer Shimon. That we build the sukkah as a hechsher. A hechsher is something that facilitates. It allows us to fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, of dwelling in the sukkah. You can't dwell in a sukkah if you don't have a sukkah. In order to have a sukkah, you have to build it. So therefore, the building becomes a hechsher. However, have you fulfilled a deoraisa, a biblical obligation, when you construct the sukkah? No. You've set yourself up. You have set yourself up to do so, but you haven't yet done so. Because you haven't yet done so until you sit in it and you eat your meals there and you sleep there and you hang out there and you live your whole life there. That's the Maharach or Zaruah. However, comes along the She'iltos of Rav HaChaigon. Rav HaChaigon was one of the Gaonim. The Gaonic period preceded the Rishonim. The Gaonim lived in the 600s, 700s, 800s era. And Rav HaChaigon was one of the Gaonim. He lived in Bavel in the 700s. And he wrote a sefer called the She'iltos. A She'ilta is literally like a drasha. like something like a Dvar Torah that someone would say over. And the Sefer She'iltos is where Rav HaChaigon counts many of the mitzvos that appear in the Torah. And as part of his counting of the mitzvos, he also counts mitzvos that have to do with the Moadim. So this you actually find at the very end of the Sefer, because he chronicles the mitzvos of the Moadim based on the time of the year. And since Sukkot comes towards the end of the year, meaning it's right at the beginning of the new year, so if you're looking at the year that way, so he has Sukkot come at the very end. And he has a very important line. Says Rav HaChaigon. What, doesn't make sense?
No,
yeah, I realize it probably doesn't make so much sense. But okay. Says Rav HaChaigon. Source number 6. De mechayvin de beis Yisrael. The Jewish nation is obligated to do what? Lemeavid mitalalasa, to make a sukkah, u meisav ba shiva yome, and to sit in it for 7 days. Two parts to the mitzvah, A and B. Part A, to make, part B, to sit. And if you're not convinced that he really means that, so look at what he quotes. He quotes two proof texts. Dichsiv, the Torah says, Chag hasukos ta'asa lecha shivas yamin. The Torah tells you to make sukkahs. Uchsiv basukos teishvu shivas yamin. And it also says to sit in the sukkah for 7 days. So he quotes one proof text for the construction of the sukkah, Chag hasukos ta'asa, and another for dwelling in the sukkah. So it seems from Rav HaChaigon that the building of the sukkah itself is part of the biblical obligation of sukkah. Not like what the Maharach or Zeruah said, that it just facilitates the mitzvah, but rather it's part and parcel of the mitzvah. It's something that you have to do. And if that's the question, I'm sorry, if that's the case, then it begs the following question as to what exactly is the nature of that obligation to build the sukkah. So let's take this one step further. If you take a look at the Netziv, that's the Hamek She'ila in source number 7. The Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda mi Berlin, many of us have heard of the Netziv before. He wrote a couple of Sfarim. He wrote the Hamek Davar, Perush on the Torah. And he also wrote a Perush on this Sefer called the She'iltos. So the Netziv says that the nature of the mitzvah to build a sukkah is still a hechsher. It's still a facilitative mitzvah. It's not something that stands in its own right. Why did the She'iltos quote it as part of the mitzvah of sukkah? Because the Netziv establishes a principle that's very important to know throughout the world of Torah and Halacha. And that's something called a Hechsher Mitzvah Haksuva Batorah. The Netziv distinguishes between two types of facilitative mitzvahs. Sometimes you have to do something in order to allow yourself to do another mitzvah, but the facilitator is not written in the Torah. For example, does the Torah ever tell me that I have to travel to the store to purchase Dalet Minin? Does the Torah tell me that I have to pluck an esrog off of a tree? That I have to pluck the hadasim off of the bush? Never tells me to do that. Even though if I want to fulfill the mitzvah of Dalet Minim, I'm going to have to do that, right? So that's a hechsher mitzvah that's not written in the Torah. However, once in a while, a more rare phenomenon, the Torah actually spells out a facilitative step in the process of doing a mitzvah. And this is one of those examples where the Torah tells you, says the Netziv, build the sukkah so that you can sit in it. So for the Netziv, really, conceptually, we agree with the Maharach or Zeruah. Building a sukkah is a hechsher. The disagreement is only what status and stature we give to that hechsher. Do we view it just like plucking the esrog off the tree? It's something I need to do, but it doesn't carry weight in the eyes of the halacha. Or no, this is one of those rare phenomena where the Torah gives weight and gravity to one of the facilitative steps. And we'll see that there are certain practical ramifications to when the Torah does that. That's one way of looking, Spence, I'll get to you in a second. That's one way of looking at how to characterize how to formulate the nature of the mitzvah to build a sukkah. However, there were others who took it much further. If you take a look at the Sefer Charedim, this is in source number 9. Rabbi Lozar ben Moshe Azkari lived in the 1500s in Svat and also wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos, which he organized according to which parts of our body we use to fulfill the mitzvos. So the Sefer Charedim, I'll tell you something just as an aside, Sefer Charedim is very famous for one particular position that he has, which is that when it comes to the mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim, the Sefer Charedim says that not only is there a mitzvah for the Kohanim to bless the people, but there's also a mitzvah for the people to receive the blessing. Charedim says that every time we do Birkas Kohanim, it's not just me who's fulfilling a mitzvah. Everybody who's standing in the audience is also part of that mitzvah. Shir for another time, one of my favorite topics. But just so you know, that's one of the Sefer Charedim's more well-known positions. So the Sefer Charedim here on our topic says very clearly that b'mitzvah sukkah yesh shtei tzavaos. There are two commandments. Echad tuya b'yadayim. There's one that you use your hands. Ha'inu asiyosa. You have to build the sukkah. V'hashenis, the second commandment, is ha'yashiva ba. Utluya b'raglayim. V'hi ikar mitzvah ugmar shela. So says the Sefer Charedim, there are two commandments you got to do. You have to build the sukkah, and you also have to sin in it. Now, I'm not hiding myself from the fact that building the sukkah is also going to allow you to sin in it, and that the end, the pinnacle, the crescendo of the process is to actually use the sukkah. Don't just build a sukkah and then look away and stay in your house. Build the sukkah and go into it. But at the same time, says the Sefer Charedim, building the sukkah is absolutely a bona fide, full-fledged mitzvah. So we have before us three different fundamental positions conceptually about how to look at building the sukkah. Maybe it's a hechsher and nothing more. It's just like plucking the esrog off the tree, maharach or zaruah. Maybe it's a hechsher, but it's a unique type of hechsher. It's a hechsher that's spelled out in the Torah and therefore has its own laws. That's the nitziv. Or maybe it's more than a hechsher. Maybe it's a mitzvah in its own right. And although it's supposed to lead to the yeshiva, the binyan itself already carries significance in the eyes of the halacha. That's the Sefer Charedim. Spence.
Thank you so much. So the nitziv is... So A, the nitziv source for this, that it has some sort of... Pasuk of the Torah, that's also from Dvarim, the same one was a part.
Correct. Chagasukos Tasa. The Netziv is just commenting on the Shildos.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the second question is, you said something, maybe I'm being too meductic on your Lashon.
No,
you
go
said,
for it.
You said something like, you know, he creates from this category. Do we know if this is, you know, the first instance that the Netziv from this specific, from building a sukkah, he creates this category, or he does this all, the Netziv has done this all the time?
So he mentions other examples. I don't know whether this is the first time that he establishes the category, but he mentions the examples of writing tefillin. The Torah says, writing mezuzos, uchsavtam al mezuzos b'seachov yisharecha. Or he says, what about guarding matzah from becoming chametz? So that's also, so he mentions other examples.
And but those examples are full-fledged, like those are more so than sukkah, or those are...
Okay, same as sukkah. Same. He's saying they're all part of the same category. Hechsher, that's ksuva batora. Yeah. Okay, Ariel first. Yeah.
One example that I can think of in my head that's similar in language is it's tzitzis, dirim tasa.
Good.
I don't know if there are others, I'm sure there are others. But where the same exact language is used.
The making of the tzitzis.
He mentions the tzitzis a lot.
The Ma'arach or Zaruah mentions tzitzis. Does the Netziv mention tzitzis? I don't remember. Right. Also, Gedilim Tasalacha could also be that when you have a four-cornered garment, that you have to put the tzitzis onto it.
Do you have to wear it, or do you have to make it?
Meaning, make the threads themselves.
I think we view it kind of like the way the tziv isn't that the way we usually, like, there's an inyan to make your own tzitzis, but it's really...
But really that's part of the heksher, because the inyan is to put the tzitzis, is for the garment to have tzitzis.
Right.
Okay, so that would be, it's a great point to raise. That'd definitely be something to look into more. Yeah, Laser. We have Laser, Dani, and Ovi. And Israel. Awesome. Yeah.
It just feels like a blurry line between normal Hechsher Mitzvah and Hechsher Mitzvah to a Torah. Like, why? What is your forcing mechanism for not just assuming it's another Mitzvah in the Torah? The only one I can think of off the top of my head, and I'm sure I'm missing a lot, is if you're trying to get to 613 Mitzvah total, so then you have a forcing mechanism to group some together.
So, but he won't count this as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. But he does think that it has the Oraisa force to it.
So the distinguishing factor is just because there's another Oraisa mitzvah that this is a feeder into.
Correct.
Or it is by definition.
Just like Ksivas. Correct. Right. Just like Ksivas, Tefillin, and Mezuzos. Like, you know that really what you do with the Tefillin and the Mezuzah is you wrap the Tefillin and you hang up the Mezuzah. But the Torah writes it in terms of Uksavtan. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, my question was the other side of that. If the Zerichel Sefer is counting up, you know, Taryag Mitzvahs, is he including the building as a completely separate mitzvah? Like, if you built the Sukkah,
right,
never celebrated, great, never anything, he's saying that this is like you can call it a Kamsa Mitzvah. You can call it more, but, you know, like,
great question.
One, like, a separate mitzvah.
So Donnie's question is really highlighting to what degree we look at the construction of Sukkah as independent. And to the best of my knowledge, I don't know of any of the Monei HaMitzvos, those who count the mitzvos, who count the binyan as separate from the yeshiva. The Netziv, certainly, he's not counting it as part of Tayag at all. And even the Sefer Charedim is counting a mitzvah of Sukkah that encompasses two commandments. There's a process of doing the binyan and also doing the yeshiva.
So the reversal of that would be that if you did not build it, are you satisfied?
Good. So we're gonna come back to that. Meaning, should you? Is there an inyan to build your own sukkah? Yeah, Dovi.
So, another question I think is relevant here is, when we say there's an inyan to build your sukkah, do we mean the physical action of building your sukkah, or is the point that I have an inyan that I should make a sukkah? Like, do I need a maisa? Do I have to, like, pick it up if I push a button and then...
Can you have someone else do it for you? Can you appoint someone else to do it for you?
Well, that also would be part of it.
That would...
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to discuss that. Yisrael.
Yeah. How would that tie... Meaning, I just basically sit in a sukkah.
Right.
I don't have to make a sukkah.
Right.
So if I find a pile of hay and I dig underneath, How would you explain Tasav Lamina
Asui? So there could still be conditions that Tasav Lamina Asui is, if Tasav Lamina Asui is not understood to everybody here, then just don't worry about it for now. I'm not going to get into all of it. But what the way that he would look at it is that there are still conditions or prerequisites for how the sukkah needs to be made. It doesn't imply that you have to make the sukkah, but in order to sit in a sukkah, it has to be a sukkah. And a Tasav Lamina Asui establishes that if it's made in that way, it's not a sukkah. It doesn't have shame sukkah. It doesn't have the status of sukkah. Eitan.
There's another pasuk b'chag shavuot ta'aseh lecha b'korei ketzir
kitim. Very good.
Like something like that for Shavuos.
Right. So we wouldn't be... Right. I don't think we would have the b'chag shavuot ta'aseh lecha b'korei ketzir kitim. We wouldn't have a similar drasha.
That's
right. Part of the weakness of the argument is that this drush of looking at Chag HaSukkos Ta'aselecha as a mitzvah to build a sukkah doesn't come up anywhere in the Bavli. Right? So it's more that they're driven by other evidence that we have in the Bavli that they now want to read the Pasuk that way. But the Pasuk is never read that way or interpreted that way in the Gemara. So it's a good point. Don, did you have a question before?
Yeah, no, I was going to make the point. I mean, it seems like the difference between Rabbi and Nativ, and I would think that the Nachmin would be exactly Dami's point, is whether you prepare it and don't sit in it. I mean, yeah, from Rechai, when it kind of sounds like there are two distinct mitzvahs. Again, you kind of, distinction between texture mitzvah and actual mitzvah.
Right. Although you could read of Achayagon very similarly to the Sefer Haredim, that you build the sukkah in order to sit in it.
Yeah, I agree. And then just one more question. So what would the Marav or Zeruah do with the
Tasa of Lamed Asay? Tasa?
Yeah,
he'll just read it simply. That the Torah is telling you that you should practice the holiday of Sukkot for 7 days. The Torah doesn't say,
right.
It says Chag HaSukkos, Tasa Lecha, right?
Yeah.
Okay, is everybody okay if we go until, I usually try to end by 9:30. Is everybody okay if we go until 9:40?
Yeah?
Okay, if anybody needs to leave before that, please, I don't take offense at all. You can totally leave in the middle if you need to leave before 9:40, okay? All right, so let's continue a little bit. So do we have any evidence, Eitan was just raising this point. Do we have any evidence in the Gemara for either there being a mitzvah to build a sukkah or there not being a mitzvah to build a sukkah? So for purposes of time, I'm going to keep this a little bit more outside. But there are many Gemaras, but I want to quote two to you tonight that are very pertinent to this issue. There is a Gemara in Makos, Daf Chesam and Aleph, a fascinating Gemara, where the Gemara is dealing with the halachos of someone who needs to go to the Ir Mikla, a rotseach b'shogeg, someone who murders accidentally. And the Gemara there says, based on the Mishnah, that one needs to go to an Ir Miklat when he's doing an action of a reshus, a neutral action, something that's not a mitzvah. However, if he's doing a mitzvah, and by doing that mitzvah, somehow that led him to accidentally kill, he would be exempt from going to the Ir Mikla. That's the principle that the Gemara establishes. The Gemara derives this principle from the example that the Mishnah gives, really that the Torah gives. And that is called Chatovas Eitzim. Chatovas Eitzim. Chatovas Eitzim means chopping wood. Chopping wood is a neutral action. So just as the example, the paradigm given in the Torah for the Ir Miklat is chopping wood, which is a neutral action, so we extrapolate that the whole idea of going to an Ir Miklat applies only to neutral actions. Asks the Gemara, you're so confident that chopping wood is a neutral action? What if one's chopping wood for a sukkah? Isn't that a mitzvah? So says the Gemara, no, it's not a mitzvah. You know why? Because if Baruch finds chopped wood, he doesn't have to chop the wood himself. He could just use the chopped wood for his sukkah. So that proves that there is no obligation to chop the wood yourself. Rather, if you find chopped wood, you can use it. So chopping wood ends up being a neutral action. Says Rashi on that Gemara, chopping of the wood is not a mitzvah, but what is a mitzvah? Asiyas hasukkah. Chopping the wood from the tree is not a mitzvah. But putting the wood together into a structure of a sukkah, that is a mitzvah.
Even if you were to say all shem mitzvah sukkah and start chopping away, it would say it's still delicious?
It would be a hechsher mitzvah, like taking the esrog from the tree. It would be just like taking an esrog from the tree. But you wouldn't get any brownie points. Right? But Rashi there, he says, this Gemara is contrasting. It's saying, the chopping of the wood's not a mitzvah. But what's the next step in the process? Making the sukkah. That's a mitzvah. And the Aruch Lener, who's Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, lived in Germany in the 1800s, one of the Acharonim, he infers from this Rashi that Rashi holds that asiyas sukkah, building a sukkah, is a full-fledged mitzvah de oraisa, rooted in what source? Chag HaSukkos Tasa Lecha Shebas Yom. So says the Aruch Lener based on this Rashi.
I don't know if it's tangential, but where do you draw the line between like preparing to build a sukkah and build a sukkah, right? Is that like literally just the last piece of stuff?
What about when I'm carrying my boards to the...
If I accidentally kill someone, do I have to go to your mitzvah, right? If I build four walls and they fall down, I have to put up the sukkah. I haven't built a sukkah.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Build a pergola.
Right.
Just for the last piece of stuff?
Like, it's a great question. It's a good question. I'm not sure. And I guess it's an intersection question, right? Because on the one hand, it's about what part of the process do I count towards the mitzvah of building the sukkah. On the other hand, it's what part of the process do we care about for your miklat. So it depends on each of those factors. It's a good question. I don't have the answer. Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful thought. Yeah, we're going to develop that thought more at the end of the shiur about the relationship between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Very good. Okay, so we have a possible proof in the Gemara and Makos for there being a mitzvah of Sukkah. What are going to be the practical ramifications as to whether we say that there's a mitzvah to build a Sukkah or not? So first of all, would we make a bracha on building the Sukkah? And you're looking at me, wait, I've never made a bracha in my life on building a sukkah. I hope I haven't been doing anything wrong. And you're right, you have not been doing anything wrong. Because the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, says explicitly, we do not make a bracha on making the sukkah. However, comes along the Yerushalmi Perek Tes Halacha Gimel in Brachos, and says that one should make a bracha when he makes the sukkah. And says the Aruch Lener, what do you see from there? Building the sukkah itself is a mitzvah. Why else would I say a bracha? So that's one possible ramification between the two perspectives, whether I should say a bracha when I build the sukkah. Now, we should hold our horses. Why? Because the Yerushalmi over there doesn't talk about only building a sukkah. Also talks about building a lulav, and making a mezuzah, and making tzitzis, and making all different types of mitzvahs. So the Yerushalmi is not really about a chiddush in building the sukkah being a mitzvah. What the Yerushalmi is saying is a chiddush that we don't hold of, that we always make a bracha when we make items that we need for a mitzvah. Yerushalmi is saying a general principle, but it's not really a proof for this perspective, or it's not really a derivative of the perspective that one is obligated to build a sukkah. Are there other derivatives? So absolutely. Dovi brought up before, what about, can I ask someone else to build my sukkah for me? Remember I told you before that the Netziv distinguishes between two types of hechsher mitzvah, and that there are practical consequences between them? This is one of them. Says the Netziv, that when the Torah spells out a facilitative step you need to take for a mitzvah, the Torah is telling you, do it yourself. Don't punt it off to other people. The Netziv is telling you, do it yourself. So therefore, according to the Netziv, really, that's why I wrote on Sunday, we're going to put Avi Brick out of business. Because I'm going to have to build my sukkah myself. I can't hire brick sukkah builders. I should build the sukkah myself. When I was growing up, there was a couple of things that always went together. It's like people who built sukkahs, shoveled snow, and sold sports tickets. No? Did anybody else have that? Every single time, all three of those things went together. Donnie knows exactly what I'm talking about. Knows exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. So, the pre-Megadim of Yosef ben Rameir to Omen, so he says, he takes for granted that we're going to apply the principle of mitzvah bo yoser mibishlucho, that you should build the sukkah yourself instead of relying on someone else to build it for you. And he wonders, what if you have a conundrum? What if you can hire someone else to build the sukkah right away after Yom Kippur, the day after Yom Kippur? Or you can wait a couple of days and build the sukkah yourself. Which one is better? And he says, Tzarechien, I don't know. But you see from that question that he takes for granted that it's the best thing for you to build your sukkah yourself. And I think this would actually be true. Halacha l'maisa. Of course, if one's unable to build a sukkah, him or herself, okay, so you're busy, you're not physically able to. Okay, so you can hire somebody else. But if you have the option, then we're going to apply mitzvah bo yoser mibishlucha to building the sukkah. Now, that's not true, David. When I'm plucking the esrog off the tree, We don't say, pluck the esrog yourself. Don't let people in Israel do it for you. Never heard of such a thing. Because we don't apply mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho to hechsher mitzvah, to a facilitator. We only apply it when there is something significant that's being done in the eyes of the halacha. So this is a major ramification. What about, and I'm skipping a little bit, but a fascinating question. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, in Chashukei Chemed, I saw this brought, in source number 19. He wonders, what if you'll be able to build the sukkah, but you know that you won't be able to sit in it? You won't be around to sit in the sukkah over Sukkot. Is there still an idea of building the sukkah? So he says, according to the opinions that building the sukkah is an independent mitzvah, then yeah, maybe you should. Now, I don't think we're going to paskin like that, because we've seen all along that even those who give independent significance to building the sukkah always tie it to the process of leading you to sit in the sukkah. So if you know for a fact that this sukkah is not going to be one that you sit in, then why are you building it to begin with? Meaning, you're just doing the beginning of the process, but the end of the process is not even possible. But it's a fascinating chiluk and distinction that he's making. Maybe I should make the sukkah even without being able to live in it. I want to end off with a quick idea. Coming back to our original question. What's the connection between Yom Kippur and Sukkot? Why is it that we pick out the mitzvah of sukkah specifically to be the mitzvah that we do right after Yom Kippur? So Mori Verabi of Rosenzweig explained such a beautiful idea about the mitzvah of sukkah. I don't have time right now to go into all of the different proofs. But Rav Rosenzweig explains that the essence of the mitzvah of sukkah is to change our living headquarters. It's exactly as the Gemara says. Tzei midiras keva v'shev bidiras arai. Go out from your fixed, permanent house and go into a more happenstance-like structure. A diras arai. What's the idea? So the idea is that the sukkah is a symbol in and of itself. Even apart from our using the sukkah for our meals, the structure of the sukkah represents and symbolizes something throughout the holiday of Sukkot. The structure of the sukkah represents that we have changed our living quarters. And why are we doing that? Because on Yom Kippur, we accomplish the greatest achievement that we possibly can. On Yom Kippur, we go through an entire day of literally standing before Hashem throughout the entire day. Lifnei Hashem Titari, existing on a purely spiritual plane. And once we have achieved that accomplishment, and we've proven our capacity to do that, says the Torah, go from the Mikdash, which is the centerpiece of Yom HaKippurim, where the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah, and everybody looks around waiting for the Kohen Gadol to finish. Go from the Beis HaMikdash and bring the Beis HaMikdash home. Bring the Mikdash home. Bring the Anane HaKavod, Sukkos Mamish, whichever one it was. Bring the Mikdash. Bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence back into your private life. Sukkah represents the emunah, the faith that we have in living with Hashem on a day-to-day basis. And we can only have that after we've proven the ability to be with Hashem for an entire day. So the Chetza Shel Sukkah, the structure of the sukkah, represents and embodies bringing that spiritual presence into our private quarters. We change our quarters from our house to living with Hashem. If this is the case, so then there's a relationship between sitting in the sukkah and building the sukkah that goes in two directions. On the one hand, I build the sukkah so that I can sit in it. I'm obligated to live and to have all of my meals and to sleep in the sukkah. So I build the sukkah so that I can do all of that. But on the other hand, when I sit in the sukkah, when I eat in the sukkah, when I live in the sukkah, what I'm doing is showing, I'm demonstrating that this place is the embodiment, is the essence of this holiday. Because I'm treating it as my permanent headquarters. It gives significance to the chefza shel sukkah. And that's why the mitzvah of sukkah is a process. I first build the sukkah. I first establish that change in location. And then I use the sukkah, which accentuates the change in location, which shows that I'm using the sukkah and making it my permanent headquarters, my headquarters for this holiday. That's why we build the sukkah specifically after Yom Kippur. Sukkah comes as the last halacha in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim and as the first halacha in Hilchos Sukkah. Because the chetza shel sukkah is exactly the transition that the Torah wants us to undergo. Take me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from my center in the Beis HaMikdash and bring me to your home. Let's have a home together in your sukkah of Basukos Teshvu Shivas Yomim. So as we go through the next couple of days, let's try to accomplish both. On Wednesday, Bez Hashem, let's have a day just with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lifnei Hashem Titaru. Nothing else on our minds. Just HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And after that, we'll be able to bask in the simcha, the joy of having been able to do so, and bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu back into our private quarters. Wish everybody a great rest of the week.